Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayler-Thompson.
My name's Adam Lavaz. Thank you for joining us for episode 76, and it's really great to be back. It's been a while since we've been here, and I think Rick and I spoke earlier in the term about wanting to do one a little bit earlier than this, but as our many teaching friends out there would know, time gets away from you, particularly in term four. So we're really happy to be able to do one now, a week and a bit out from the end of the term, and it's great to be back, mate.
It is great to be back, Adam. It actually feels like we've had a longer break this time, and I didn't do the math. But I think maybe to some of our regular listeners, without getting too ahead of myself, perhaps it feels like a long time. And it was really nice. We put out a little message on our Facebook page earlier in the week, and it was great to get some hits and some likes already from people. So we really hope that this week's episode and next week's Christmas special, Adam, the annual Christmas special,
which we always look forward to.
Always look forward to. And we hope that these two episodes kind of bring it home for all those teachers around the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's a lot happening at the moment, mate. Before we get into all our topics for tonight, obviously some changes. Now, think about next year for us as well. It's that time of the year. Now, you're staying in grade six next year.
Well, it's looking like that, Adam. It hasn't been announced to the community yet.
So, okay.
Gee, I hope there's no parents listening. But look, it is looking likely, but I don't know for sure yet. But I tell you what, Adam, we've spoken about this in past years. Isn't it like the like a sport draft?
It really is.
Like the football draft?
Yep.
All secrets around staff, you know. I heard so-and-so's going down to year one.
Yeah.
And I mean, parents ask, certainly,
but
the staff, it's almost like a lottery.
It really is kind of lottery. And the reason I bring it up is we had our one update today, and I'm going back up to 5-6 after 3 years in 1-2, which I'm a little bit funny about. I really enjoyed my time in 1-2 and actually felt like I've become an even better teacher than what I was. Although I was a good teacher and stuff, but I feel like I've learned a lot down there.
Well, over the last 3 years, I've done that quick. I had year 6 and then year 3.
Yep.
And then year 6 again this year. Are you already starting to think, because I really noticed it this year, how you automatically, with experience, go into a different form of speaking?
Absolutely.
So you'll go back to that almost talking like you do to young adults.
Absolutely. And someone said to me today, how'd you go? And I said, it took me 5 minutes. And then I felt like I'd never left. You know, I was getting there talking to the kids and, you know, telling them stories and the way they chatted and the way they just got to work and did it without too much instruction. That's really good. Whereas, you know, the 1-2s, you've really got to go over it and do that sort of stuff, which was great. But with the one up though, I had parents, we had our disco night last on. A few parents, I heard you go to 3-4 or heard you go in here. And I kind of go, where'd you hear that from? It's not common knowledge. You'd almost start a TAB betting one, you know.
Absolutely.
Lavaz 3-1, 3-4, 4-1, 5-6. It really sets the parents off. The parents get nervy.
Yep.
I actually reckon in some cases the parents get more nervous than the kids do.
Mm-hmm. And particularly, like, I think if I think parents get nervy when there's maybe a new staff member coming in, completely new to the school.
Yep.
And speaking of new staff members who get employed, rumours also spread about them. You know, I might say, he's been employed because he's got this particular skill. Apparently, he knows so and so. You know, and it's hilarious. Really.
And we've got one starter next year who is fresh off the production line. And two, parents get a little bit nervy, but you kind of think, look, these people aren't hired if they can't do their job.
Yeah.
You know, it couldn't be a more rigorous selection criteria and things for these people to go through. No bad ones really slip through the cracks anymore. Another thing we want to mention, obviously, reports. The reports are almost done. You know, PDP. We are really getting to the nitty gritty at the moment, mate.
Very, very busy, aren't we? And
yeah.
It does feel satisfying to be able to churn out a couple of episodes. And we apologise. We probably expected, I think we even suggested last time we had an episode, that we'd perhaps do one or two episodes midterm around November. Hopefully in 2018 we can kind of get that semi-regular basis.
Yes, definitely.
At this stage, we don't think we're going back to the weekly podcast, do we?
I think everyone out there would agree that the teaching and the time that it takes doesn't allow us, I don't think, anymore. I think as the years have gone by, we've constantly realised that doing it week to week is just not viable, particularly with lots of meetings and everything else that goes with it. We'd like to do at least a couple of term, I think, would be the goal. And if we can fit others in there, then I think that's a win.
And just to finish off this little introduction, the one thing we probably don't mention, Adam, is being public school teachers like we are, and at the primary level, is that we have the children right up until just before Christmas. And so we have to also negotiate ways to get our other work done, like packing up, moving classrooms for some people.
Moving classrooms. It's a big one.
And because we don't have any of those days like some other schools do without students, it's a real juggling act.
It's really hard. And it's, where do you find the time to do it? How do you keep the kids busy? And when do you go? If you start moving to someone else's room, are they going, I'm not ready, I haven't done mine yet, okay, I've got to stop? It's a real thing. You just got to work with the people that are there to get it done well. So,
absolutely.
Look, we've got some great topics tonight we want to get through, and our usual anecdotes and things never said in the staff room. So let's get stuck in, mate.
Let's get into it. So, Adam, in the intro, we touched on it is report time now, or most of us have probably finished our assessment.
Yep.
And over the term, I'm sure your students did a few assessments here and there. I know our Year 6 students did a lot of assessments over a period of 2 weeks towards the end of November. Of course, our secondary students around the state about a month back would have done all their Year 12 exams. So, you know, it is that... It's a pressurised time of year, particularly during the November month. And I believe you came across an interesting tweet that you saw.
I did.
That relates kind of to exams and testing.
It does, and it kind of made me sit back a little bit. The tweet's from Neil deGrasse Tyson. I can't remember. It's from earlier in the year. It's actually from, when I say earlier in the year, it's actually from quite a while ago. And it was, I frequent Reddit a lot on the education subreddit, and it was reposted on there and stuff, and it really hit home with me. And the tweet simply says, "When students cheat on exams, it's because our school system values grades more than students value learning." Now, the bit I really want to focus on, and we've seen articles over the last few years about students being caught cheating on the Year 12 exams, and there's been some problems in some of the schools, particularly in Melbourne and in some of the private schools. The things I want to get back to is where we're going away from teaching students to value that learning and linking it back to the things that they do, that we're becoming so data-based, that we're teaching for NAPLAN, we're teaching for these tests, and we're constantly doing these things that the kids aren't sitting back and we're going, why am I learning this? How is this learning valuable to me? And how can I apply it in real life? We're literally going, look, NAPLAN's in a couple of weeks, right? Get out your books, and we've got to teach them how to do a problem-solving skill, you know, to work out, you know, if Rick's got 8 apples and Adam's got 4 apples and someone came along and ate 2, how many are left? We're teaching them how to work that out, but we're not teaching them the value in why we need to learn about that and what we're doing. The kids are just, we're just bombarding them with things and they're trying to take it all in. And then once that plan goes, it's that, there's that big come down. And then you would go, so why are we doing this? And they'd sit there and go, I don't know, you know?
Well, I think that's true. And it has been true, sorry. I think that has been true over a period of years, particularly in primary schools. That's been our experience. Mm. I do wonder, though, whether the tide is turning in primary schools. Mm. I know that in the environment that I teach at the moment, there is, particularly in the last 12 months, there's been a lot more talk about the love of learning and how do we get kids stimulated rather than working our way towards just getting the data. Now, that's going to be different for every school.
Yeah.
I think there is still a lot of pressure on schools, particularly schools maybe that have data that's not so strong.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think we need to give more student voice?
Absolutely. And that's where that's another string to the bow, I guess, of what I was just talking about then. Is that's something I know that our school is looking at heavily and is really trying.
And we're very much the same. Look, as part of our one up day, you know, you do your sort of little activities and get to know your ones. We actually had a survey that the kids did on the iPad through Office 365 that, you know, what are your favourite subjects? It was anonymous. What are your favourite subjects? What's the subject you don't enjoy? And then there was a text box underneath to say, why don't you enjoy it? So we had 66 responses or whatever when we did it today. The variety of things that came up is what we're already using for our next year as part of our PLC to sit there now and go, this is not information we're going to find out in June. This is information we have now. And to build that engagement and to build that love of learning and that connection, we can now look at the things that we're struggling with and that the kids are going, look, we don't like this. We're finding this difficult. How can we turn that around and from day one have them engage? And these are the students telling us. We're not kind of guessing and going, well, last year we don't think they enjoyed that. And we take it away and they go, actually, hang on, we did. They're actually telling us. And there's a variety of words. I won't say what they are in terms of linking back to the activities and things, but things that we can now start to do and go, right, we can plan now to get that love of learning and to start teaching them about, you know, the skills and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's really good.
I think there's some validity in self-reported grades. I'm sure you've heard a little bit about that. It's certainly been pushed, I know, from the top down. I think there is an argument for kids having more ownership over their learning and self-reported grades, you know, meaning, you know, that they have ownership of how they've performed, say, in a pre-test or a pre-assessment, and then looking to the next step. It's setting goals, I know.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's more than that, though. It's also actually looking at them actually not just setting a goal with our help, but actually, particularly for the older students, deciding on where they want to go next and setting a level of where they think they can get to and setting realistic sort of goals. So, you know, I might grow 6 months, but these are the goals that I'm going, these are the skills that I'm going to focus on. And I think if that works, that's going to develop a love of learning. Even though you're focusing on how you're going to improve your grades that there is a love of learning there.
And it comes back to that accountability. It'd be great to see them go, well, how are you working towards this goal? The last couple of weeks and them actually taking notes and doing those sorts of things and what have you learned and what have you done and those things. And I really agree with you, mate. Having the kids choose the goals, and you know, even doing a pretest, you know, in writing. Let's say you're doing writing, they do that writing one and they sit down and they've done it, and you go, right, let's have a look up on the wall. Here's a variety of things they can go, look, gee, you know, we're persuasive writing. I can already tell I forgot to do my paragraphs. I know a good starting point is paragraphs because this is what I need to do. And that's just a basic example, but that then you can actually go to them later. So what's your goal? Well, I'm actually working on paragraphs. Rather than we're getting the work, we're setting them the goal, they take away, and then 2 days later they go, oh, I can't even remember what my goal is. So, but to come back to that, and to come back to the quote that I was talking about, it's we want them to value that learning. We want them to have that value and to be able to go, yes, I know what it is I'm learning about, and I know why we are learning about it, and why I need to apply it to what I'm doing and how I can use that elsewhere.
Hence then comes the respect or the motivation to, I guess, complete an assessment when it needs to be done.
Yes.
To sort of finish off, because I know we won't go too in-depth, but there's an article which I haven't finished reading, but it's in the recent Australian Education Union magazine, written by John Graham. And a quote says that with schools' results in NAPLAN, it's unclear whether student improvement in student literacy is a result of an improvement in learning and their learning skills, or whether it's actually an improvement just in the in the level of test preparation.
Yep.
There are some comments coming out now and studies saying that overall NAPLAN data in Australia over 10 years is not showing a real huge improvement, that it's not actually making a massive difference.
Yeah, so it's not.
I think in the next sort of chunk of our career, and for those people who are listening who might just be starting a career, may see a change in the way national testing is done. I know that the union are very much against online testing. That's another issue, I guess, but I think we'll see some change in the way national testing is done in the coming years.
I think you may well be right, because if this is, now we have a large thing to be looking at. We don't have just a couple of years. It says here at the end, you know, even educationally speaking, 10 years of data shows that NAPLAN fails the evidence-based policy test, with international sample testing revealing there has been no improvement in overall student achievement since NAPLAN became the centre of attention in Australian schools. Now, that's 10 years. That's not 2 years of people going, we'll give it time. That's a decade showing no improvement. So, mate, I think as we finish, I think you're right. I think we're going to see a big change in that. And people's thoughts out there about NAPLAN and what your school does and the preparation and that value of learning, leave a comment on the Facebook page and we'd love to hear about that.
Things ever said in the staff room.
G'day, Ricky. How you going?
I'm good, Adam. How are you?
Good, good, mate. How are the reports travelling?
Oh, mate, I am wrapped. I have finished mine and I had 4 weeks to spare.
Rick, I'm so proud of you, mate. I wish I was in the same boat as you.
Things ever said in the staff room.
Well, the second thing we want to talk about now, mate, is it's that time of the year, and I'm sure a lot of teachers out there will be thinking about their Christmas parties and the big blowouts at the end of the year, but also thinking about this time of the year, how important it is to unwind. And I know, talking to you, we both had the chat that our Christmas parties have already been. Neither of us were able to actually go to ours this year. I know that you had an important appointment, and I actually had a wedding. Ours was on a Saturday this year, and I was in Melbourne for a wedding, so I didn't get to go, but it's an interesting one, isn't it, mate, that finding the time to unwind as a teacher more and more is a difficult thing to do. And I also think it's finding the right way to unwind as well. I think sometimes the days for me particularly of going out and getting smashed, you know, on a weekend, you know, to put it like that with a young kid, they're well behind me.
I can't imagine you would have even done that.
No, I didn't really do that anyway. But the things of doing those, you turn up on Monday morning absolutely knackered and you've got to get through the week. You know, you've got to be really careful how it is that you unwind.
Oh, definitely. And I just want to touch on the unwinding, because you can actually, I think it is linked to maybe how you socialise, you know, particularly if you're involving like partying and alcohol or whatever. But in terms of just unwinding, I want to touch on that for a second, because I find that fascinating. As I get older and more experienced in the profession and more busy, as you said, with more responsibilities, yes, we do really value our holidays and I think we deserve them. That moment where you stop as a teacher can be, I mean, because in our job, there's no let off, there's no wind down, is there? So you've got a lot of responsibilities and like, let's look at term four. So you're in year six, you're planning graduation, you're doing all those things.
Transition,
you're finishing your reports, you know, you're trying to finish the year well with the kids. You're also packing up, you're cleaning your room, all while the students are there.
Yep.
And then right up until that last day, then it just stops.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing.
Yep.
And then obviously you've got your life, you've got your family and Christmas coming up. So I don't mean that you've got no plans, but it is I find it sometimes, and I'll talk personally, a really difficult adjustment sometimes. And I can feel almost like I'm in a different sort of headspace for a few days. And I've spoken to other teachers, and some people have said that during their break, sometimes it can take them up to a week until they feel like they're in a different routine, in a different groove.
Yeah.
And it can be challenging sometimes. I'm not complaining about the break that we get.
No.
Sometimes you might get sick, you know, if your body stops, you know, you can, if you're fighting off a bug with all that adrenaline while you're working. I think it can be difficult. And I think it almost needs strategic planning, just like we plan at school.
Yes, and I think you're right. And I think we're not encouraged to unwind as much as we should be. And I think too often, because life as a teacher is such a digital thing these days, we're constantly being reminded of our job, you know. And I've deliberately taken notifications off my phone for emails.
Me too.
For example, and I know you've done the same in that when I go home at night, if I really feel like I need to check it, I will. But I don't want that constant...
Sorry to interrupt. Have you noticed a difference in the way that... You feel about work and you've...
Absolutely, because I feel like when I'm done, I'm done. I'll put it all aside and I'm sitting there watching something with my wife and doing that, and then I'll hear a ding and I'm forced. It's an email from... it's this sort of stuff. I always feel like now if someone desperately needs me for something, they will get in touch with me, you know, they could get by Facey or send me a text message or something like that. If it's just a basic email or something that comes in, I don't have to know about it. When I get there in the morning, I'll turn my things on, I'll go and set up my board, I'll sit down and go, right, what have I got? Oh, I need to respond to that. I'm in the zone then, I'm at school and that's my time.
You know what?
I'm at home.
I don't think they should have to, unless it was an emergency and maybe your colleague is not going to be there tomorrow and something you need to do for them. But I don't think, even if, I have no problem with people sending emails to me at late at night, but there should be, and most workplaces have this, in schools that I know of, there shouldn't be that expectation that I reply.
Exactly, like, yeah.
If I've ever sent an email at night, you know, I often I'll write, please don't reply to this until tomorrow morning or something like that, you know.
You're absolutely right. If it's up to people how they unwind and how they do it, but there can't be an expectation on your colleagues to be doing the same thing. And I think it's the same as calls. I know that in the past I've had colleagues who have been called at 9 o'clock at night from another colleague about something, and you kind of think, no. Once I walk out that gate, if you need me, unless it's, you know, life or death situation or something like that, leave me alone.
Yeah.
It might be on your mind, but you can tell me tomorrow morning. You know, you can email me, I'll get it, I'll get on top of it, but you can't expect me to do that stuff. Now, I want to quickly mention before we finish this one, our Christmas party. I know we both spoke about that our Christmas parties, even though we weren't there, some of the stories we were regaled with, I think teachers were more of... You could call them a blowout this year.
I mean, we won't. I certainly won't regale any stories. And there was nothing... nothing untoward.
No, I'm not suggesting that. But,
it got me thinking, not necessarily about what I heard about our staff's recent Christmas party, but more just about Christmas parties in general, Adam.
Yep.
And I don't know whether it's our profession, because I haven't really worked in many other professions, so I don't know whether it's something about, it's such a personal job and you're on the ground with all those colleagues, teacher colleagues all year, whether sometimes a Christmas party for some people is that big blowout where they, you know, you overindulge, your adrenaline's high, and it's quite funny. I reckon if you were not a teacher and you stood on the edge of a teacher Christmas party and watched, I think you'd be fascinated.
Yeah, I reckon you would be too. It's just, anything can happen. It's just, it's kind of like this free-for-all.
Free-for-all,
And a teacher's got to let my hair down and stuff. And I think teachers should be allowed to, because too often you get a bit nervy about doing that stuff with their families around. Yeah. So, like, I've even felt bad taking a six-pack of beer out from a Dan Murphy's and bumping into a family. I should be allowed to have a beer. I bet you them dads at home having a couple at home. Like, why should I?
Do we think that? Like, that's an interesting question. Why do we think that?
I don't know. It feels like you've got to be some sort of role model, I think. But having something in moderation doesn't hurt,
that's,
you know?
Right, it's
that
sort
of stuff. But anyway, that's stories for another time. But if you've got anything that you do in terms of how you unwind, but also any good Christmas party stories that you're happy to share with some changed names or something like that, we'd love to hear about them. So we've reached that time in the episode. It's anecdote time, and I must admit, Rick, because of the length between our episodes and how long it's been, I did the last one. It has been a while since I've given you the new ball for the anecdote. So I'm going to pop that red cherry in your hand, and away you go.
Well, it's nice and red too. Thank you. Look, it's great to have the anecdote back. I know we mentioned it in our last episode last term, but it's something that had to come back, Adam.
It is.
And it's themed. So with this time of the year, we mentioned briefly graduation. So I'm currently right in the midst of finishing, I guess, the last minute details for our Year 6 graduation. And it reminded me of an experience many, many years ago at a previous school. And I don't know about you, people who are listening, but if you've been involved in a school graduation, whether at Year 6 or older, but often you might have some people from the outside of the school come to present awards. So you might have the local secondary school come and present a scholarship to some students attending there next year.
Yep.
You might have some people from a particular organisation. So I want to talk about that. So for, I'll give an example. This is not the example. I'm going to keep names away from it. But let's say from the local Rotary organisation, you might have a rep who you know, presents a Year 6 student that, that you select who's been a fantastic student, you know, strong grades. You know,
citizenship sort of
good
stuff.
Good citizenship stuff. They might get like a voucher and a certificate or something. So there was this one particular year we had a rep from an organisation like that in the community who came along. And he was presenting two $100 checks. Now, he told me when he arrived that he had checks, and I thought, okay, that's fine. I'm sure the family can go and cash that. So when I invited him up on stage to present the award, about 400 people in the audience, and this was the moment of the night where I was kind of doing the hosting duties. I was kind of introducing the next person to
the
come
MC.
Up. The MC. And so this gentleman from this organisation started to present the award, and he gave a bit of detail about the background of the organisation. He was going pretty well. Slightly elongated, but anyway, it was okay. So, but and at the very point, he got the two students up to award them, and he gave them the certificate. And he actually had had the checks in his hand, like they're in an envelope. I'd seen them.
Yeah.
At the very moment when it was time to hand them over, they just miraculously disappeared. And he started sort of looking down, you know, towards going, oh, I seem to have, all on the microphone, I seem to have misplaced the checks. They were in. And then he looked at the audience and they were in my hands. Yeah. Like that. And then there was this slight murmur of like laughter. Yeah. The Year 6 kids were down the front. They sort of started laughing.
Yeah.
It kept going. They looked at it again. Yeah. No, they were definitely here somewhere. And it just went on. I literally, I reckon it was probably 2 to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It felt like 10. My colleagues were sitting at the back looking at me like smiling like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it became, like, all it needed was the Benny Hill music or, you know, Basil Fawlty to come out. You know, like, it was that kind of, you know, moment. Yeah. And then my principal was sitting behind me on stage and he just went, Rick, get him off, like that. And I was like, oh, this is up to me. And so on the microphone, because I said I had to say, oh, excuse me, you know, we'll find the checks another day and we'll make sure. And he kept going, though. Mm. Oh, no, I don't even know. Look, oh, they are definitely here somewhere. Actually had to physically, not in a harsh way, but actually had to guide him off using my hands on his back. Yep.
That's unbelievable.
Not his backside, on his back. Yeah.
Like he couldn't get the cues. But look, I'm not going to find. Look, I'll give it to you guys later.
Cues.
Sorry, everyone.
Yes.
Thank you. This is great and everything like that. He couldn't leave it. Like it's like I've got to get. This is my job. That this the club or whatever sent me here. I've got to hand these
That's
over.
That's never happened to me. It made me think. Yeah, when you're on, when you're performing like that in front of an audience, you've got nowhere to go.
No, you don't. And grads are funny because
have you had anything like that?
I have, and I'll talk about that in a second because grads are nerve wracking nights because the parents. It's a big night. You want it to go well. Many years ago, and I wasn't in the 5-6s at the time, we've actually had, because a smaller school like ours, the kids would give speeches. You'd kind of try and keep it to 1 or 2 minutes. And,
past
you
school,
know,
I went
we've had, and I've actually had one. I've actually had a kid get up and go, you know, I came here in grade 3, and I had Miss Lavaz in grade 3, and he wasn't as good as my previous teacher. Someone's actually said that like out loud at a thing, and I sit there and going, right, I love, no worries, and that sort of stuff like that. And but we actually had a student, and I was in 5-6 at the time, who forgot their speech and was the first person up there and went rogue and kind of panicked and went rogue and kind of leant on the pulpit and had the microphone. They was just leaning there going, so
I've got two things before you. Did he inform the staff or you that he hadn't forgotten? Did you ever consider that he left the speech at home on purpose?
Possibly. We didn't really consider that because he wasn't that sort of kid, but he went and he went rogue and he kind of was like, yep, so how's everyone going tonight? Good school. Yeah, really good school.
It's a 12-year-old.
Yeah. What a night. What a grad night. It's great, isn't it, everyone? And he's all going, he panicked and had nothing to do. And he went for, no joke, 3 or 4 minutes of this. Yeah, got good memories. Good students. Good teachers. Like this sort of stuff like that. And you couldn't drag him off. You know, you want that cane to come out.
Cane to come out.
And rip him off. You couldn't. And then everyone kind of did this at the end. It was that kind of clap of.
Yes. Almost the and you know, stay out.
Yeah, sort of one. So graduate being on, we've got ours next Monday night. You've got yours next Tuesday night.
Yes,
they're big nights because it's such a rite of passage for the kids and the parents. They want their photos, want everything to go right, and there's pressure on you that everything goes well and that everything gets handed out. And you know, we have a sit down dinner. We're at the Belmont Bowls Club, which is awesome. They're so good, and it's good food and. And then you got the PowerPoint. Do you have a PowerPoint sort of at the end of some photos?
Yeah, it's
all a
that.
Pretty important and night on the calendar.
We have a mocktail. It's a lot of work, you know.
A so mocktail?
You do, yeah.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah,
good.
Something kind of, it gives the students a chance to learn what it's like to get around and socialise.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We kind of teach them how to do that. You know,
that's a great idea.
Actually go up and approach other teachers and speak to them. But anyway, I mean, I guess there'll be a lot of staff out there across the country and across the world who are involved in some sort of end of school year event. They are huge, and you're right, the pressure's on. Teachers are organising them. It's one of those extra jobs that we do. And I know that you have in the past. I know that I am putting a lot of work into it because you do want it to go well.
You do.
So I just hope with that anecdote that no one shows up who is a listener to sabotage me on stage.
Put you under the pump, mate. That wouldn't be very good.
So I'm going to lock the door, Adam, just in case you show up.
Yeah. Won't be happening. So, mate, that brings an end to our penultimate episode for the year. And it was a good one. And as we've said before, we're back next week for the Christmas special. And we haven't totally locked in our special guests next week, have we?
No, we haven't. But you know what I'd like to lock in, Adam? And I did mention this on the Facebook post on Monday. I would love to lock in some anecdotes from our listeners.
Yeah,
so please,
definitely.
Please contact us. You can contact us via the Facebook page with a comment. You can also leave a comment on the blog.
Yep.
Which, if you don't want it to be public, you can also contact us through direct message on Twitter.
Yeah, or direct message on Facebook, particularly if you think it's an anecdote that's great that you don't want others to see, be a bit of a surprise or something like that. Direct messages through there, we'll get it and we'll definitely put it on.
We've also got our email address, toregularteachers@gmail.com. Adam, the last time I checked that was probably 6 months ago. So we better check because there might be one sitting in there.
There could be one sitting in there. So we're pumped for next week and we hope you are too. And thank you to all our listeners who have stuck by us. We're really happy that you're still there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, if you can help out Adam, if anyone's got any really good Christmas activities for his kids, could you send some in?
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Yeah, it'd be wonderful. So from me, Adam Alvarez.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and it's been great to be back again being two regular teachers.